All right, so the Yankees, well, they hang on. 10-9. They scored 10 runs. They were up 10-1 in this game, and they nearly shit themselves to death. However, the prompt, was the Yankees' near collapse actually a good thing? And the reason I say that, I created it. I'll take full blame for this.
I'm glad you've done this.
The reason I say that, and maybe this is just the state of the Yankees in 2025, is that in the past, this game is a loss every time. And they had, what I told Gary off air, a tsunami of momentum hitting them dead in the face. And they somehow pulled this win off. Now, we're not going to talk about the fact that the Twins are dog water. We're not going to talk about the fact that the Yankees really have no excuse to be losing these games. But what we are going to do is talk about the fact that the Yankees found a way to win a game in which we've already seen a million times they lose these type of games. So, hats off to, honestly, Trent Grisham going yard in this one, hitting 2-for-4. He's been kind of in a slump lately. Hats off to Ben Rice going 3-for-4 and then idiotically is pinch hit for in a game that is still a game. Genius Boone. Hats off to Giancarlo Stanton. He looked a lot better, I thought, today. Jazz Chisholm had 2 hits. Volpe had 2 hits. Austin Wells, man, the closest thing you can get to a home run that's not a home run. And the Yankees were 7. Gary, I nearly fell on the floor when I read this. 7 of 16 with runners in scoring position. They had 16 runners in scoring position opportunities. The one thing I will take away from this game, aside from what I was just saying, is that the Yankees, very interesting today, they only had 1 home run, and they scored 10 runs today. And again, I understand it's the Twins, but it's on the road. I mean, hey, it is, it's not easy to put that up against anybody on the road, but they did, and then they almost pissed it away. So I'll send it over to you, but In conclusion on my little monologue here, if you could even call it that, I'm just glad that the Yankees found a way to hang on to a game that I think they lose last month.
Yeah, shout out to Zebby Matthews. We were talking about the execution on his pitches, and again, that really is when you're hitting home runs, which you saw from Trent Grisham, it's going to be on mistakes. Zebby Matthews was a living mistake today. He was just all over the middle of the plate, hard contact, left and right. You saw Ben Rice taking great swings. You saw Trent Grisham taking great swings. We saw Anthony Volpe have 2 knocks today. Guys, these games should just be easy. And obviously, up until the point where it was 10-1, it was easy. But after that, kind of reminding you a lot of what you've been seeing this year, which is just not putting your foot on the gas pedal and making sure the game's over. Any game 10-1 should be a win every time. There should be no questions. How is it possible that Cam Schlittler allowed this to be a game? How is it possible? And we talked about Ryan Yarbrough. I think we both agree. He hasn't pitched a ton. He's just getting back to the field. So it makes sense that he's not as sharp as you'd like him to be. It's kind of nonsensical. Obviously, a little update here. Toronto did win in Tampa again. So they have won, Jake. Is it now 6 games in a row? I believe that's exactly where we're at. That is 6 games in a row. Toronto's won 7 of their last 10 games. And people were saying that tougher time in the schedule for Toronto, easier time for the Yankees. All this is true. This is before a pitch is ever thrown, Jake. But they're still able to win these games. Still entirely possible, and that's exactly what we're seeing. We said yesterday, and you said yesterday, the division's over. I said maybe 5 days ago the division was over. As soon as I saw, I think, a 4-game deficit, and the Yankees had to pass them, I was like, yeah, I think Toronto's got it, and that was my coverage of it. But, man, I guess horrible to see that this game ended up the score that it was, because it never should have. But good to see that the Yankees win the Red Sox lose. I think I saw there were a lot of, I don't know if you read the comments, Jake. A lot of Boston, of who we'd want to see in a wild card. A lot of Houston. So some interesting answers there.
Very interesting answers. I personally will never choose because I've done this a million times. I want to see them. And then we know how it goes. So I personally just, if you feel like you have the best team, which I do believe the Yankees have the best team in the AL, then I think they can beat anybody. You know, that's just how I do. Feel.
I mean, I would agree with your conclusion there is that the Yankees can beat anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I also do believe Toronto can beat anybody, right? Like from a literal standpoint, I think Toronto can beat anybody in the AL, right?
Yeah.
We think Boston's a little banged up. Maybe Roman Anthony back on the field. I would probably say, yeah, Boston can beat anybody. They can beat us. We've seen it before this year. Toronto, same deal. So I think a lot of teams in the AL are coming into the postseason saying, we can do something. But how many teams would you say, I would presume that they're going to? And that's the thing I think a lot of Yankees fans wanted to see leading up to the postseason. And unfortunately, you're not getting that. So if you guys wanted to be able to draw a conclusion of, oh, we're just better than that team, we see them very similar to what you've seen in years past with Minnesota. Oh, we work them all year. If we see them in the DS, they're done. Yeah, that conclusion's not being drawn in 2025. We're literally, when Brian Cashman says, and Hal Steinbrenner, and I hate when they do this, but they do it. They say, oh, the postseason's a crapshoot, man. It's just, it could go any one of two. They treat it like it's March Madness, like we're watching a bunch of college basketball student athletes. This year is literally going to be a crapshoot. The Yankees, very easily, by the way, because I respect all these teams in the AL. I don't say they suck, but there's no great team. We could just walk into a wild card very easily and just go be gone after three games. Very easily could that happen. So I want people to realize the volatility of what we're about to watch. It's going to be box office because either way you slice it, if the Yankees find a way to surprise people, come out the wild card, win in the division series, it's a story. Major story for anybody who's watching the Yankees. Anybody. But if they lose in the first round, there's probably going to be major, major overhaul going on in New York. So there's a lot to be written in this book, and I can't wait. Can't wait.
Yeah. No, I hate the crapshoot comment with passion. I think it actually is really disrespectful to who you're going up against and kind of, I think it actually, in a way, discredits the accomplishment. So what you're saying is it's a crapshoot, so the Dodgers don't deserve any credit for winning at all. You know,
it just brings the aspect of luck. It's the same thing we talked about with Ben Rice, where they say he's hitting 230. Well, he's just a bad luck. It's just a strike of bad luck. It's mm-hmm. more than that. Sports are more than luck. Is there an aspect of luck? Certainly. But should it be your calling card where hopefully it bounces our way this year? That's never been the Yankees' way. The Yankees come in and say, we want to be the best team. Last team standing, there are no excuses. Well, I wonder how many times in 20 years, I believe Derek Jeter played 20 years in the big leagues. I wonder how many times he talked about luck during his tenure. I'd be curious to know, and I'm sure it's maybe it's
twice.
Not, and maybe I was going to say it's not zero, but yeah, no more than once or twice.
Maybe it was both of them were probably ironic too. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So it just goes to show you kind of where our mentality is as an organization and not just about our players or our manager. So it's really across the board. Josh with the super with the five says, I checked the score and it was 10-2. I can't even blame him. Then I checked again. It's 10-8. Then I tuned in towards the end. When was the collapse? Can this work in the postseason? So,
well, not this. No. They can't just go up 10-1 and then blow it like that. Because I will tell you, they won today. And mm-hmm. like I said, it was a whatever. I think I said tsunami. It was a tsunami of momentum hitting them head on. But if this was in the postseason, well, now it's no longer a tsunami. It's a giant supermassive black hole that is going to suck you in and kill you. And that, to me, is why momentum is so scary, especially when we get to the postseason. You feel it way more. We saw it. You saw it in slow motion, man. When they put in Nestor Cortez, you know, we can sit here and say, and we did, we said, oh, yeah, they can find a way to win game two. We were confident they could. But we also knew in the back of our mind that that was probably the World Series. We didn't just want to just chalk it up and be like, all right, guys, yeah, we know, like, we're incredibly lucky here at Yankees Unload, our first year covering the team, to be covering a World Series team. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to tell you not to have any faith. We weren't going to do that. And I think there was reason to have faith. But deep down, I think we all knew when he hit that home run against Nestor Cortez, the momentum was not in the Yankees' favor moving
forward. No, it definitely didn't feel like we were going to get up off the mat. Now, of course, there were close games. There was game five. We were like, how could you possibly ruin this game? But at the same time, we were in the position we were in because of how that started. And I will tell you guys, we're not going to be up 10-0, 10-1 in the postseason. This lead, in a postseason lead, looks more like 4 runs. Like, 4 runs in the postseason is like 20, it feels like. It's like you're down 2 touchdowns with 2 minutes to go in a football game. It just is. So if you're the New York Yankees, what that means is, and it's straight across the board for all teams, is that teams are going to struggle to score against the opposition's best pitching. That's just common knowledge, common sense. If people are seeing Rodon, they're seeing Fried, and it's looking a lot like Heel, and I do see that in the comments, so thank you guys for being active in our chat, mentioning that they would give the baseball to Luis Heel for game three. Okay, great. Well, if we see Boston knows we don't hit Heel well. Rodon, we don't. Max Fried, these guys have our number. So a 3 or 4 game run lead, you have to protect that with everything. And the Yankees so far, one of our biggest weaknesses is protecting a lead. Major weakness. And it shouldn't be. And Jake, when this season started, before we ever saw a pitch, we said, oh, well, we don't really love the guys on the mound. We don't love it. It certainly can work, but they'll figure it out. Just because of what they've done in the past, they always figure it out. This year, they actually haven't. One of our strengths is actually our offense, and it's still boomer bust mentality. So very weird team. I know you called them the most talented team in the AL. This is a weird group, man.
They are weird.
This is such a weird group. We've got Trent Grisham, one of our key contributors, who was ice cold coming into this game. In having career year, he's never had a year anywhere close to it. Now fans want him back. Our top prospect, Jason Dominguez, hasn't been killer. He's been fine. Bad defender. Half the fans are like, we should trade him to bring in something else that fits better. Spencer Jones, same position, right? Cody Bellinger, he's really in a contract year. This is a weird team, Jake. Such a weird, just a weird spot we're in. I don't know how you feel about it. I know you said it was talented, but what a wonky group.
They're that one team that we see in the NCAA tournament that is a one seed, but everyone's complaining that they're one seed because this, and this, like, variables throughout the year. Oh, they weren't like that consistent. They just had like a hot streak and then got back, whatever. But then they end up going to the Final Four and you're like, oh, okay. I understand, you know, why people have pause with this team. I do. And they are weird. Like, don't get me wrong. But I really do believe this is going to be a team that goes back to the World Series. I do.
Why am I seeing in the comment section people saying Bird is going to be back for the playoffs? What were they talking about?
Greg Bird has more of a chance of being on this postseason. Yeah, that's
actually where my brain went, because I don't know what people are talking about.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jake Bird is the
potato. If Jake Bird is out there, then we've got bigger problems.
I will rescind. I will happily rescind my World Series prediction if Jake Bird is on the postseason roster. I'll mail it in, because that can't happen.
You are wild. You are wild for predicting that this team, is going to make it to. Because isn't that what you said, that they're going to make it to the World Series?
Yeah, I do believe they're going to make it to the World Series.
Yeah, and you technically could be right. So we're definitely going to leave room for that. That's crazy to me. I just don't see it. And mind you, I have seen like the variables that are certainly at work, right? Like Toronto is a good team. They kind of want us to force calling them a great team because they're playing much better than what the Yankees have played in 2025. And they're like, no, you have to acknowledge us. I think a lot of teams that weren't upper echelon for a long period of time, their fans and those organizations are like, acknowledge me, right? Like, we're the small market. They're not small market, but you get the gist.
Oh, God. Don't get me started with small market.
You need to talk about us the same way you talk about the Yankees or the Red Sox or all these teams. And it's like, the Jays are a good team. But it just it does seem a little forced to have to call them great. No, they're not a small market, but they're not covered the same way the Yankees are, and they shouldn't be because of history. That's just the way it works. I know a lot of people complain about that. They say, oh, why does ESPN or why are these different networks and Fox? They only want to talk about the Dodgers and they only want to talk about the Yankees. I'm like, have you been to a Forever 21? Have you walked into an H&M? You don't see Blue Jays hats. You don't see any of these. You don't see Diamondbacks hats. But when you walk, you can walk into a California location, H&M, a retail store. They have Yankees and Dodgers hats.
That's a good point. Snapbacks
sitting in these places, and people are like, why is all this coverage? Because people like them, man.
Now, I will say, I get it, because I'm tired of seeing the New York Football Giants and the Dallas Cowboys in primetime like every freaking week. I'm just, you know, it's one of those teams, and I just, I'm over it. I hear you,
but
if they were good, though, I wouldn't care.
No, but I don't agree, because it's the same reason they show Taylor Swift. There's no other reason they show it other than people go, why? Who would care about this? Why would anybody care to see Taylor Swift on the screen 15 times during the broadcast? And it's like, yeah, we don't care. Like, you and I, we don't care. Taylor Swift's on the screen. But you know who does? Millions of people. They wouldn't just throw it up on the screen if it wasn't helping their ratings by any means. If there weren't rumors, oh, T-Swift's in the building. And now no, I get all what these you're random saying. People. So the Cowboys, literally, if they're the worst team ever, they're just going to throw them up on national TV because they know they have a ton of fans. And they're going to hate watch that game. And they're going to complain about Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott and whoever else. And so that, and then CeeDee Lamb's drops, right? That is part of their sales pitch. Same deal with the Yankees. So I want to give the Jays as much credit as possible. I felt like I went back and watched the show because I wanted to make sure it came across clean. When I look up and I look at the Toronto Blue Jays, they're deserving of a ton of credit, but yeah, not enough credit where I'd say we can't beat this team. I just think that both teams are in a position where the Toronto Blue Jays are just as formidable in October as the Yankees will be. And that's the way I'm taking these postseason series. I'm walking in not as David versus Goliath. I see two Davids. That's what I see as far as the American League playoffs. So the Yankees, I mean, wouldn't it surprise you guys to see the Toronto Blue Jays representing the AL in the World Series? You'd say, man, that felt really winnable this year, because you'd be right. Wouldn't it feel that way if the Detroit Tigers, who we just played at the stadium, and they're a good, not great team. They've been playing very bad baseball since the break, but again, beat us. You'd say, if the Tigers represent the AL in the World Series, you mean to tell me we can go toe-to-toe with that team? We can. We just can. But it's a matter of if you trust management, right, to pull the right strings, if you trust the back end of our bullpen, maybe not the entirety of it. You have to trust the back end. 7, 8, 9. What's that group going to do? What's Weaver going to do? What's Cruz going to do? Leiter Jr. is going to find his way out there. You have to trust that group enough in these big games, in these David versus David postseason series. Jake, it is going to be. I was just telling my wife. She didn't look like she cared. But I was telling my wife on the way home tonight, it's going to be crazy watching this team come out of a wild card. The negativity that this team's going to see, that they're going to face, and rightfully so, they earn that. If they didn't want to see it, win the division. They didn't do that. Now the Yankees have made their bed, and they're going to have to just lie in it and pull themselves up from their bootstraps. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a huge challenge, and I think it's the first time in Aaron Boone's tenure where he's actually going to be under fire at the level that maybe he's never seen before. So maybe it creates a diamond, or, in, you know, the old saying, it could burst a pipe.
Yeah, and I think Boone, I mean, I've stood by this all year. If they don't at least match yesterday, if they don't at least match last year's performance, Boone needs to be let go. If they don't get to the World Series, if they don't get into the World Series, they don't have to win. They don't have to win. They play the Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers are just a better team, right?
What if they see any other team in the NL? Like, what if Milwaukee, which, by the way, it's baseball postseason. So, again, we're not subscribing to March Madness. It's very difficult to win in October.
Mm-hmm.
You could pick the favorite from both sides and be like, they won't win and they won't win. You'll probably be right. So, I guess, what if they don't see Milwaukee? What if they ran into, I don't know, what if they ran into the Giants? What if San Francisco Giants made it to the World Series?
I think it'd be unacceptable. I think it would have to be like a Brewers, a Dodgers, a Padres. Like,
okay, that's realistic. It is more realistic. We see Philly, LA, San Diego.
Yeah, Philly. Yeah. That's another one.
Yeah, it's more realistic.
That's one of those ones
saying.
I'm like, okay, Boone, I can give you that. I mean, not saying I even want you to be the manager, but I'm not firing. There's a difference. I might not want you, but I'm not trying to fire you after losing to the Phillies in a, say, six-game series or whatever. I would be pissed off with is, say, if the Mets started heating up again, found their way in the playoffs, and they lost to the Mets, fire. Giants, fire, right? Like,
teams
it would have
that
to
you
be,
think you would have to lose to someone where we say they have more talent than us. They just exactly. have more talent than us. If they've got more talent than us, then I can look at Brian Cashman and say, hey, do you see how we got to the World Series? And Aaron Boone didn't even have a name to go to in the eighth inning. He had to throw Leiter Jr. out there because Weaver pitched or
if anything,
pitched
it puts
multi.
You're absolutely right. If anything, it's back-to-back years where Boone has brought them to the World Series.
Yeah.
And Brian Cashman hasn't spent his fair share, and I think it would put Cashman under the hot seat. I mean, I'm not saying they would necessarily go that route, but yeah, I think it makes Cashman look bad. If Boone brings the Yankees to back-to-back World Series after the drought that they've had, and you see it, Gary, like you mentioned, there's clearly like an eighth inning guy missing or right. something that just sticks out like a sore thumb, Cashman is going to be under a lot of fire.
It's weird, though, that you... So, hear me out here. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%, but what's interesting about that is I tend to look at other teams, and I look at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, I look at the shortened COVID season, and if you guys remember, Dave Roberts and the Dodgers were getting to the World Series often. They were finding ways to win the pennant, and they just couldn't get it done. Now, obviously, they were running into Houston, and we know the story of what was going on, but having said that, Dodgers fans were not happy.
No.
With making it there. Now, part of that, and this is a major point for you here, Jake, is that you mentioned the GM. Now it falls on you that we don't have a talent enough roster to get over the hump. Well, Dodgers fans were like, we're just the most talented roster. We should be winning these games. But if the Yankees get to the World Series and lose, say, to Milwaukee, or they lose to the Dodgers again, what, are you going to blame Aaron Boone now? You probably shouldn't.
No.
You should probably be blaming the fact that these players, we've had, you know what I mean? We've had different guys in here, and it's not enough. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. The narrative can go any one way, really, based on these results. And I get it. Boone's going to think it's unfair. Cashman's going to think it's unfair. They're going to think that, well, we made it to the World Series. Very hard to do that, and that's true. But this is what you sign up for. When you want to be the GM of the Yankees, you want to be the manager of the Yankees, it is win or it's a losing season. And if you didn't like that, you should have just taken the job and wherever else. But Josh, thank you for the two. Really appreciate the super, my man.
It burned says, into anyway, the screen.
Yep. Yeah, Josh, if you don't come off the screen, wouldn't surprise me. And by the way, guys, my AirPods completely pooped out on me and died. So that's why I look like a space cadet. I know people were like, wow, we upgraded our headset. No.
Wait, hold on. You were saying? So
what?
So Gary's photo in my phone for like his contact info.
Yeah, just don't show my number. Otherwise, it'll just blow up.
No, it's not your number.
All right,
it's sweet. Anyway, what the hell?
It is me sitting in front of a green screen.
You can't see it, but it's funny.
Actually did focus in a little bit. But yeah. Josh says, anyway, to get an ETA on our fave pod start time. No, today was a late show. Buddy of mine flew in, had to see him for dinner. So show was late because of me. I'll wear it. Josh, thank you for being here, my man. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Zachary Morris, who's got me clearly on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it.
We love that.
Thank you for the two. Says, Gary, thanks for the Cal home run pick. So people can't say that Cal Rowley is a player I don't like. No, I think what he's doing is extraordinary. He actually broke the record. I couldn't remember what the record. It was held by Mickey Mantle and Ken Griffey Jr. Huh. When you see your name on a list with that, pretty good. So I said that Cal Rowley would hit a home run today, and I was, I guess, wrong. He hit two. So he's now at 50. Is it 56 or 58? Something ridiculous. I think it's 56. Pretty incredible. And also Shohei hit his 50th, which is back-to-back season. So, Zach, you are absolutely welcome, my man. Thanks for the follow. And Scott Ross with the five. Thank you, Scott. Says, Penn has a 5.71 ERA since the deadline. That is worst in Major League Baseball. And since August Sox series, it's been 7.20. I would assume that is ERA. Can't win this way. Who in this pen do you keep for 2026? Let's answer that, Jake.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and figure out who in this bullpen. Can you just go to the Yankees depth chart and pop them up on the screen? Because I think that would be probably the best way to go about this. But Scott, thank you for the super.
Yeah, let's do it. So one second here. Are they going to give me the full? I mean,
they may not.
No, they're not. Okay. Let's do a roster.
Just go to Yankees depth chart. That's, you can probably just type that in and it'll pop up. And I can honestly tell you.
Okay, here we go.
Pulling it up myself.
Here we go.
Who would you guys keep of this group? Because so I know Luke Weaver's starting to sour on people. I want to know what you guys think.
I would actually bring back Devin Williams for the right price.
To do what?
Just to be a part of the bullpen. If he wants to close, he's probably not closing.
Highly unlikely, by the way. This is an aspect that has to be considered.
Mm-hmm.
Williams,
he's going to come back. I know.
Devin Williams knows, when he goes into the market, whether you guys want him back or not, if Devin Williams figures it out and pitches well from today to the end of the season, I know you guys would be like, well, so what? You were pretty bad for us all year. And that would be fair. But Devin Williams and his agent know what Devin Williams was for the totality of his career, not just his 1 year with the Yankees. And the best way to get paid as a reliever is to close games. It's not to pitch the seventh or eighth inning for the Yankees in 2026. So Devin Williams may take a 1 year deal with some contender for lesser money just for the sake of getting the closer's role. So Jake, I think if you're willing to give Devin Williams a spot, but not the closer's job, he may say, I guess I'll accept it now. What am I supposed to do? I'm under contract. But in the off season, he may just say no.
Yeah, no, I feel like if they could bring him back for the right price, I would do it. But I also feel like he's not coming back because I think there's going to be a team out there that looks at the Yankees and they're like, they messed this up. We can get a good, like, look at what Chapman did. And I also think teams are going to look at that. Chapman on the Yankees never looked as good as Chapman does currently right now in the Red Sox.
Which goes back to the point of one of our supers.
Yeah.
One of our super chats says, is Matt Blake, is he they act like he's Jesus. He just sprinkles holy water on you and everything works. Well, not necessarily. If you look at our bullpen, some of these guys aren't working. We're sprinkling the holy water on them, but nothing's happening. There's no miracle going on. So I would agree with you. If I'm the Dodgers, if I'm San Diego, or if I'm any of these contenders, right? I'm Arizona. And I'm looking for a guy who can close games, who's done it before. I take a 1 year on Devin Williams and just assume that, yeah, it didn't work with the Yankees. The Yankees are the only people who have to deal with that aspect. So I personally don't bring Devin Williams back only because he's going to want to close, and I wouldn't give him that role.
No, I think that's totally fair. I'd like him back for the right price, and of course, as long as he'd be willing to be like a setup guy. Luke Weaver, it's about the price for me. I'm not paying him top dollar on the reliever market. Honestly, haven't been really impressed as of late. He's going to need a pretty important October, and he did show us, to be fair, last year he can pitch in October. He's going to need to do what he did last year in his new role, and sure, he's going to need to be damn good at it, or they'll move on.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I would look at it this way. Luke Weaver said he can show up with his agent and say, well, you saw what I did in 2024. Aren't you thankful for what I did? I did multi-inning. I've shown I could do that. And I'd say, yeah, but I've also seen what the floor looks like. I've also seen what your health looks like. Now, with back-to-back seasons with actual innings under your belt, and we saw that there was a regression, Luke Weaver I would take back under a one-year deal premise. If it's anything other than 1 year and then essentially re-up your market, I'll let you do that in pinstripes. But if we're going multi-year on Luke Weaver because of something you did, what will be 2 years prior, that I will not subscribe to. David Bednar is
I'd sign him this offseason.
He's the dude. David Bednar's the dude. Doval, I think Doval, because how many years is he under contract with us as we go forward?
Doval, I think it's three or four years of control. I think it's three.
So I'll say this about Doval. We have no problem with Bednar. Perfect guy for the job. And in the role. Doval, I give him the entirety of 2026 to figure out his control issues underneath Matt Blake. Spring training with Matt Blake. Full regular season with him. If he can't get the control under control by the fall of next year, yeah, we're doing what the Giants did. We're saying sayonara. Thank you for your service. Goodbye.
This is a deadline trade, in my opinion. That's the thing. The Yankees, it's a no-brainer. You bring him back in 2026. You have until July 30th. If he doesn't look at all like he can be salvaged, you trade him at the deadline.
And we're being more patient with him because there are a lot of people who are saying he's not showing anything right now, and that's true. But because of the control we acquired him with, we have the ability for cheap to figure out if we can solve the control problem. So give it half a year. Jake, you're saying half a year. I say give it a full, pretty much the same answer. Mm-hmm. He's got talent, but that's not the only part of the job, is just having talent. Mark Leiter Jr., I would like to just put him on a rocket and send him somewhere. Couldn't care less where he goes. Tim Hill, honestly, doesn't bother me. He just doesn't. I should have better options in my bullpen where he's not necessary in huge spots.
That's fair.
So Tim Hill just doesn't bother me. It's just the position that we've put him in, given what a lot of other guys, they failed to do their jobs, and then somehow Tim Hill ends up on the mound in the 10th inning. He shouldn't be pitching in those positions. So Tim Hill doesn't bother me. Johnny Lowe's done. And Fernando Cruz is 35. So what you think you're getting in age 36 season, I mean, I'll let you guys guess what that'll look like. I let you do it with Paul Goldschmidt. I didn't like the signing because of his age, and it ended up working out for half a season. So, Jake, what do you think about this group right here?
Yeah, I think Mark Leiter Jr. Is somebody that you can bring in another year and just have him try to earn it in camp, and if he doesn't earn it, then he's gone. You know, it's nothing I'm crazy about. Jake Cousins, I know they're going to keep him around, and they're going to hope that he can come back from this. I mean, I don't know. He's always been injured. He misses a ton of bats, and I love the potential there, but the injuries are real, you know, and that's just the reality of it. Kirk Cousins' cousin, by the way. I always got a kick out of that.
Are you being for real?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Oh, I told you when they got him.
Yeah, I didn't remember that, though.
Yeah,
Kirk. Because it's still Jake Cousins.
Kirk Cousins' cousin. It's just wild. Tim Hill, I like Tim Hill for what he is. He's a utility arm. He's an attack wedge, right? You're not going to use him off the deck. You know, you're not going to drive with an attack wedge.
Right.
But he has his purpose. I don't want anything to do with Jonathan Loaisiga anymore. I'm tired of, oh, he'll come back from the injury. And I feel for him. Look, like, I'm not trying to be heartless here. But I'm kind of over just, like, Cousins, fine. He's hurt a lot. But, like, he hasn't had the injuries that Loaisiga has on the Yankees.
He also isn't costing us millions of dollars, by the way.
That, too. He's not costing $10 millions because that was a false report from a false reporter, as we know. But,
typical.
But yeah, it's awful. But Jonathan Loaisiga, to me, it's over. You know, it's over. He's probably going to be out of the league soon. Like, he can't stay healthy. There's no point. Fernando Cruz, they have a lot of control with him. I think it's 4 years.
Hey, take a look
years.
At this. Yeah, I just dropped it on the screen. Thank you for putting this in the comment section. It says, we have Fernando Cruz till 2029. Yeah, he'll be able to run for president.
Yeah.
By the time he's done. It's
but
crazy.
Do man. You want to have 4 years of Fernando Cruz? I mean, I don't think so. He's 35 right now. Like, I don't see it.
No, that's more so about if age 36 season works out, cool, we just can hang on to him. And then if he just craps down his leg in his age 37 season, you don't have to say, well, what do we do with this big contract? Do we eat it? No, that's what the control does. It just gives us full flexibility to say sayonara whenever we want. So I think that position that we're in with Cruz makes a lot of sense. It's just perfect. And Jersey Girl with a 5, since we passed Luke Weaver, thank you for the 5, says garbage win off topic. I feel like Luke Weaver hasn't been the same since he came back from the IL, came back early from the hamstring issue.
Awesome stuff.
Don't know if that was the right decision to bring him back early. And the only reason I say that is the performance hasn't been the same. Now, do I know, is it the hamstring or is it just bad performance? This is sports, so we can't draw a conclusion, just the same way we could not draw a conclusion as to why Aaron Judge wasn't hitting for a month. Aaron Judge disappeared for 40 days, hit 200. At one point, he was hitting under 200 for over a month span. And people said, oh, it's the injury. It's him dealing with this arm issue. That's the problem. Then all of a sudden he hit for 2 weeks and no one said anything about it since. So I don't know if this Weaver thing is injury related. It very well could be. Or has he just regressed back to the means? Both are possible. And I think the Yankees are going to want Weaver back. I see them re-signing him regardless, just simply because of the multi-inning usage that he provides. I think there's too much value to the Yankees long-term from multi-inning. I think the Yankees are going to sign more guys that can do so.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Kind of finishing this up, Paul Blackburn, wouldn't be surprised if they let him go, but also wouldn't be surprised if he does enough and they're like, yeah, we'll give him another year.
Is he Michael Tonkin?
Oh, do you know he pitched tonight? You catch that?
No, I didn't.
He struck out Anthony Volpe, blew a 94-mile-an-hour fastball right down the plate.
Somebody clipped that.
Gary just died.
Wait, what do you mean?
What do you mean?
He pitched tonight?
Yeah. He struck out Anthony Volpe.
Oh, okay, I see. He pitched, he got one out. Good for him, man.
Yeah.
He came in for Volpe and it was the final out. Okay, I see.
I was kind of happy for him, I'm not going to lie. I still to this day feel like they treated him like shit. They picked up guys that were nowhere near as good as him at Exhibit A, a guy we called Delos Meatballs. Cruz, it's kind of a pay as you go type of situation here. You know, it's just an annual subscription. And then Paul Blackburn, I think they could add a year. He could also be like Tim Mesa and they let him go. Brent Hedrick will be around. And then Ryan Yarbrough is going to get paid by somebody. He's done enough already, even though he was injured. He's done enough to get
paid. You know
where
Ryan Yarbrough, you know who would be the most Ryan Yarbrough signing of all time?
The Pirates.
No, the New York Mets.
Oh, my God.
The New York Mets just turned Clay Holmes, who was wet diarrhea in 2024, and they were like, you know what we should do with that? He's really bad in short innings. You know what we should do? Try to pitch him for 7. What an idea. They thought it was going to work the whole year because they think they're a lot smarter than what they are. No surprise. But Ryan Yarbrough actually is talented and crafty enough. No doubt about it. I'm really impressed by his work. The Mets would love to do this. Bring him in on a three-year, $36 million deal. We'll pay him $12 a year. Nothing major, but it's money that we can pay. Ryan Yarbrough, New York Met. I can see it.
They are goons, man. They're goons. I could see the Pirates. Bob Nutting is like, all right, so we're going to trade away Paul Skeens, and then we're going to make Ryan Yarbrough our ace.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise anybody. But I mean, the only thing, I guess it would surprise me to see them spending any amount of money. But was there anything, by the way, because I know you talked at the very beginning of the show, that you were happy, not how we got there, with the fact that the Yankees were able to stop the bleeding enough to not screw the game up.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm in Inception. I was like, I'm seeing my name three times.
Yeah, no, that was just for that one scene, and then I have to do it manually.
Can we talk about Anthony Volpe, though? Because
yeah.
Volpe did.
He looked good today.
Remember, we had a six-day window.
Mm-hmm.
Six. Where the Yankees finally got out front of it and said, hey, guys, he's not healthy. He's not. He had a cortisone shot. We didn't tell you when we did it because, well, we actually don't know why we didn't tell you, but we didn't. And we're telling you now so you know why he's not playing. And we're like, well, okay, well, we didn't want him playing anyway. Then 3 or 4 days go by, and Caballero plays. Caballero played awesome the whole time he was out there. And then he objectively played a terrible game in his last game out there. The very last game he just played was a horrible baseball game. He was bad at shortstop. He got picked off of second base for no reason whatsoever in a one-run game. And then all of a sudden the news came out post-game. Oh, Volpe's ready to go. We saw him immediately. And Anthony Volpe today had two hard knocks. So good for him. Will it sustain? Again, same coverage we've been giving you guys. It's never sustained. Never in the history. Never, not one time. The only time, I guess I should say, and you've brought this up, Jake, was when he hit 286 in October. We would take that. But that was for 1 month of the three-year career that he's had. So, guys, I'm not going to tell you it's going to be sunshine and rainbows even tomorrow. When you see Anthony Volpe back out there, they may throw Caballero out there to play to get Volpe back out of there, who's dealing with this shoulder issue. I don't know what Boone will do, but man, it's weird to see Volpe back in there. I didn't like it, but happy to see the result work out.
Yeah, I mean, if he hits, we don't really care, right? But to get rid of Caballero when he is hitting, that's what we do care about. I sent you the tweet at like 7:40, I think. Like, it was during the game. I saw it. It made me mad, so I sent it to you. Just so that way we could share in our madness, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Aaron Boone on starting Anthony Volpe today over Jose Caballero. This, of course, is Brendan Cuddy.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, he's ready to go. Caballero is not a guy who plays every single day, and I want to be mindful of that. He's a little beat up too, so want to get Anthony back into the mix here, and hopefully he gives us a spark today. I don't know why that bothered me so much. It actually makes sense, but the idea Caballero is not a guy who plays every single day, that's a load of shit.
Played every single day with the Rays.
He did. He just didn't play one position every single day.
He played every single day for just another team. So, I mean, guys, if you traded for someone else's starting shortstop and brought him here, would you be able to say, oh, he just never started? No, he did start. You just traded for a starter, and now he's, if he's a starter on your team, no, he's been a starter. No, Caballero is probably just a better baseball player, and that's a shame to say, but they're not willing to admit it. They're making it seem like he's been a journeyman who sits at second base in the eighth inning of games. That's not the case. We watch enough baseball to know he started in Tampa. He did.
Yeah.
So I don't understand the coverage. I would assume he knows, but he's just telling us that, assuming we'll just chew it up. But he should know better by now. There's no reason to lie to us. You know what Caballero was doing. You were in the other dugout.
I'm glad that's how you looked at it. because that's how I looked at it. I was like, what? Come on. Can we get off this like lying train?
Chris 99 brings it up. Cabby played 140 games. Hey, guys, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, that's not 162.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever seen a bench player play 140 games a year? Which player is that?
Lord, if I know.
Which backup quarterback got into the game 15 times last year? Which one? Somebody, I want to learn something.
Hey, yeah. That's not an NFL thing.
I want to learn because I'm always interested in learning. I want Boone to, if he was on our show, I'd be like, how are you selling me that a player who played 140 games last year is this role player? He's not that. Come on now.
This is so true. FIFO, by the way, big shout out. So FIFO, full disclosure, is a member on this channel and is now a member on the Rams channel that I do.
Nice.
And the reason why I wanted to shout him out is because FIFO is a Jets fan, or was a Jets fan, had it, and just switched over to the Rams from Yankees Unloaded.
So it's been that. Has the start been that bad for the Jets?
They just got creamed by the Bills.
I mean, that's to be expected. They were never going to win that football game in any year.
But didn't Justin Fields got hurt? So I think like Tyrod Taylor is playing. It's not great.
Yeah, Justin Fields' problem was that I started him in fantasy this week after picking him up on waiver wire. So yeah, the Jets were never going to do anything. So FIFO, you probably made the right choice there. So.
I beat you aboard. By 0.26 points, by the way.
Nice. Fantasy football is stupid.
I won two matchups by like point. I'm like, the fact we're winning by decimal points, what are we doing here?
Dumbest thing ever.
But no, FIFO, appreciate you. He comes from days off, gets a few hits, and then goes into slump next 10 games. 1 for 40. Yeah, you know, there was an interesting thing brought up, shocker. I know Yes is really trying to push Volpe. I feel like they're getting orders from the Yankees.
What did you hear Yes say?
Well, I forget which commentator said it. I don't know why. It was weird. I was in a kind of a weird, trance. Like, I knew Michael Kay was calling today's game, but I didn't, if you asked me, I don't even know who was calling it with him. Like, I don't even remember. I don't know why. The first time all year, I don't remember who was calling it with him.
Blame you. I felt like I was being buried alive watching today's game. So.
Yeah, well, there you go. Whatever. So I think it was Girardi, but I don't know, right? I just it was one of those games where I just felt like I was decaying in reverse.
It was Girardi.
It was Girardi. Okay.
Yep.
So here's the deal. I think it was Girardi who said, because it wasn't Michael Kay, it was Girardi, who said Anthony Volpe, after he had that first injection, which I'm not even privy to. I forgot he even had an injection to begin with. He hit like 280 or something for a minute, and then he had the two hits tonight, and it's like, do you know how stupid... Like, think about this for a sec. Do you know how stupid the Yankees are going to look if Anthony Volpe just starts raking now that he had that injection? That's not going to be like, oh, the Yankees figured Volpe out. No, us smart fans, because I do believe this is the smartest fan base in baseball. I'll say it right now. I think that you have a lot of really, at least Yankees Unloaded, I think you have a lot of really informed people. So it's not going to get by us, because we're going to be like, no. It's not, oh my God, you guys fixed Volpe. It's going to be like, why the hell did you take this long to get Volpe the injection? If that is what it is, you are buffoons. Buffoons.
Well, I guess the way you can look at it is that dealing with injuries, technically, there's no way to really prove anything. There's no way
that's
to prove.
That's true.
There's no way to prove that an injury is the reason. There was no way to prove it, just the same way with Judge earlier this month. They said, well, Judge can't hit because he's dealing with the arm. Then he started raking. Everyone's like, oh. Never mind, right? We just stopped talking about it. Well, if Anthony Volpe starts hitting, they're going to say, well, I think the break really did him some good. Very similar to Jazz at the beginning of the year. It wasn't the injury. It was none of that. It was that he needed a hard reset. Watch Cabby go out there and perform, and we were so happy and thrilled that Cabby can push him in that way. But Volpe's now back to take his rightful position. I promise you, the fans, maybe our audience will pick up on it, but I promise you, 90% of the audience, please, they'll just say, oh, we're happy to have Volpe back, and if Volpe's going to hit this way, then he should play. That will be the coverage. So if it doesn't work, they'll just say, well, Volpe sucks, and then they'll move on. But yeah, I'm rooting for it to work. I already know they're not going to do what I want to do. So now I'm just going to sit back, relax, and watch the results. That's all it is.
The reality is this. The Yankees are a way better team if Anthony Volpe and Caballero play well. Right? We can all agree on that. They're way better.
Yeah.
So,
again, they're also a lot better if Caballero just plays more often
than Anthony Volpe.
The problem is they've bitten off too much. They want to chew it. They want this Anthony Volpe thing to work because it makes them look a lot better. Alex, who Jake just threw up on the screen, a mod of ours, said they spent their quarter zone budget on Jake Bird. Yeah, that dude's just getting cremated. And is it AAA? Is that where we sent him? To purgatory?
Should we check on him? Should we make sure he's okay? Go ahead.
Yeah, will it actually pull up his stats? Because a lot of times what you have to deal with when a guy's a big leaguer and then they send him down to the minors because he's not any good, they show you his big league stats. I'm like, I don't want to see that. I want to see him getting shelled in the minors.
I mean, I'm hoping he recovers. I don't want him to keep getting shelled, but
that's based on what our audience has been telling us, so it hasn't been recovering.
Yeah, let's see here. So the last, holy shit.
Yeah, give us of late. Like, give us the last 2 weeks, something of that nature.
I'll do you one better.
Okay.
So we got the last 7 games, last 15, and last 30. Jesus,
this looks like someone's blood pressure. 1688? What is that?
No. His whip is 279 in this last 15 games. Oh, the poor guy. He was so excited. He shaved his beard and everything went with it.
This looks like someone's stats when you're like, hey, did your dad play? They're like, yeah, my dad played in college. Yeah, he played in college. He played for Cornell. And you're like, oh, wow, really? And you pull up the 1989 stats and their dad pitched for like 2 weekends. And his stats look like this. Good it's like, grief.
Oh, yeah. We had a local guy, too. The local guy.
Oh my God.
Oh man. I feel bad. I do. Genuinely.
Do you?
But like, you're telling me in 9 2/3, you've given up 20 hits and 18 earned runs? The last dude's, nine?
Dude's pitches have GPS to the barrel.
Dude.
Just Apple CarPlay straight to a hitter's barrel.
He's unbelievable. He's almost averaging a 2 runs an inning. What?
Yeah, that's actually really hard to do with high velocity. So Chris mentions that in 26 innings pitched, he surrendered 22 earned runs.
35 hits.
So yeah, it turns out
9 walks. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, Donnie, appreciate it. Says taking him out of Coors Field obviously didn't really do anything. So as you guys can see, it actually made him worse.
Can you imagine how Cashman feels about this move?
How he feels? Well, he thinks you guys forgot about him, and if he does something, I'm just telling you guys.
No, behind closed doors, he not talking about our reaction, but I'm sure behind closed doors, he's like this. He's probably pissed because they did trade away an asset to get him, Roch Regio. Yeah, he was hitting the cover off the ball. They trade Roch Regio for this guy. Now, Rafael Flores, by the way, who is traded for David Bednar, that's going to end up being a really balanced trade. Bednar's helping the Yankees, and Rafael Flores, shout out to him, just got called up. He is on the Pirates now. The Yankees have yet another catcher that they have put into the big leagues. It is unreal.
You know, I do think, though, to some degree, the Yankees are developing offensive catchers, and I think that just tends to be what gets called up right now, right? Augustin Ramirez was just strictly an offensive catcher. I know people were like, Gary, Jake, you don't want to imagine him on this team. I'm like, imagine it. He couldn't block anything.
Yeah, no, we would be
seeing Max Fried and Carlos Rodon say, I don't want Augustin Ramirez catching me. I want Wells or this guy catching me. That's exactly what you guys would be seeing. And Alex says, those aren't pitching numbers. That's coordinates in Zimbabwe. Yeah. Yeah, we need to Jake Amazon Bird, Prime
more
him
like
there.
Jake Pigeon. Oh my god. Oh Lord.
Yeah. All anyway, right. Jake, do we have any voicemails? I think we had what, 4.
We do.
Is it four? Was I on the money?
You were close.
Oh, five.
Oh, Guy broke our rule.
What was the rule?
The one voicemail.
Oh, well, that's fine. We'll just pick the best one.
Yeah, which will be the first one, because I'm looking at the second one, and it was 6 seconds. So. Oh, it doesn't even... I don't even know. Anyway. All right. So here we go with Guy.
Not much to say, except for last night was the worst game the Yankees played all year. I thought maybe they could possibly have some kind of letdown, but not a complete and utter meltdown. I sure hope they look better tonight. I don't have confidence in their offense whatsoever. Expectations with Minnesota has always been easy for us. We just have their number. And not facing Joe Smith, a sweep was highly probability. The Yankees play like they expect to win, but they don't play to win. That's what I see in this team all the time, especially with the front office and Boone. They won the series against the Red Sox, but did they really expect deep down to win game three? I don't know what happens to this team, but it's not a good sign, along with their very shaky bullpen. Tonight it's no different. We should win the game, but telling you how many runs the Yankees will score tonight is a mystery to me. Are we going to turn Zippy Matthews into Roger Clemens? I mean, it's also hard to get Wells the rest looking at the lineup, because I think he needs it, but we need a lefty on the mound to play Goldsmith. I don't want to see him out there against righties anymore. I'm backing our bulldog number three, Cam Chitler. I always say that. To win the game tonight. And I don't trust the Yankees to predict the score. On Volpe, we just knew he was going to play. I think the Yankees' mindset is they want him to be a starter in the playoffs. And based on what he did last year, that's how they're thinking. And the undenying belief in this guy. If he does play better after rest, which he usually does, I think we all feel if he plays good, this will just be a false belief heading into the playoffs. I still think Jason Dominguez isn't playing is kind of a mistake. I know Stanton needs to get hot, but I also feel Dominguez, if he's going to be part of the team, should be playing some and relieving Stanton, who has looked awful. So that's all I got. Tried to go as fast as I can, not to keep this too long. Hope the Yankees won, I guess. And we have something decent to talk about, or already have. All right.
So, thank you, Guy. This is what happens. Guy has had a prediction, like, every time. And the Twins just broke Guy entirely. Like, yeah, I hope they win. There wasn't really much of a prediction this time.
He was genuinely worried that Zippy the Zipper Matthews was going to come out here and shut us down.
When he said Roger Zippy Matthews into Roger Clemens, I lost my shit. I knew I wasn't going to recover.
Well, first
I'm just
off,
glad we weren't in a church.
Zippy
Matthews thrown out.
Sounds like someone who pitched to Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig. What are we doing? There isn't really a pitcher or player out there that has a bad name and is a good player. It's not possible. I'm set in my ways. If you're drafting in the NFL, if you're drafting Major League Baseball players in the top five of the draft, if their name doesn't sound like Mike Trout, Ken Griffey Jr., just say these names.
Alex Rodriguez.
Say these names.
Jose Caballero. I like that name.
Yeah. You have to have a
Anthony
good name.
Volpe. Sorry.
Right. So, yeah, we did win the game. That's the good news. It's what we had to do. We'll just take it.
Three Finger Brown.
And by the way, yesterday we did cover it. Giancarlo Stanton, our play, we're not saying it's the right way, but our decision was we would just play Stanton through these dark times because Jason Dominguez, while you may be able to develop him a little bit, mm-hmm. his ceiling, I mean, it's at arm's length. For this year, he's not going to set it off in October and carry a team in a round of the postseason. Giancarlo Stanton has that potential. He's not showing it to you. He did today. He was 2 for 4. But we need him to be red hot if this team's going to do anything anyway. So playing Jason Dominguez is just counterintuitive. They made the decision to agree with us, and I think that's the right choice. Why wouldn't you agree with Yankees Unloaded? Why not?
Yeah. So we have the return of Ninja Hot Dog.
Welcome back.
What up? Look, we won. We did win 10-9. And I'm happy about that. But in many ways, it doesn't feel like a win. You know, it looked like we very well have could have lost that game. And we could have blown a 10-1 lead. And the bullpen, you can't trust them apparently with a 9-run lead. I don't get it. This bullpen never fails to amaze me. Why did we use Leiter when we did, and Yarbrough when we did? You're telling me that we're in a jam and you trust those guys to get you out. Why? Boone is back doing this stuff. The bullpen, you can't trust them. Going into the postseason, I better not see any Leiter. I better only see Yarbrough if we're up by a lot or down by a lot. Like, I genuinely don't understand how this bullpen could be so bad. Even Bednar gave up a home run, which isn't too bad by itself. But a home run, as you guys always say, is a mistake. And when he's making mistakes like that, it's problematic for this team. Like, this team is just, they are so lucky. And it feels like every day they go in and just dial it in, especially the bullpen, the offense, they started off pretty good. They did die down. Once they lost the momentum, they stopped, and they tried nothing to get back on track. They had no fight in them. They were willing to lose that game. The Yankees were willing to lose that game. I mean, well, we did put in Bednar, but it felt like he might have been willing to lose the game too, honestly, with that home run. Fire Baboon. And also, one last thing. I heard a lot of you guys were upset. I'm not there yesterday. Thanks for all the support. I am glad to be back. I'm feeling better. Thank you, everyone.
Awesome. He just had to watch some Yankees baseball. He had to watch us lose a 7-0 game, and then he popped up back to life. But Ninja, like, we're glad you're feeling better.
It can always be worse, apparently.
It can always be worse. And by the way, guys, I don't want you to put too much stock and blame into this bullpen. The bullpen,
I agree.
It was really Ryan Yarbrough had a blow-up outing, mm-hmm. which happens, especially with a guy who hasn't been out on the mound. And they didn't think it was going to look like that, right? Same way they didn't think Cruz was going to blow up last week. But having said that, Cam Schlittler, if he was even mediocre today, this just stays a blowout. But guys, he pitched 4 2/3 and gave up 4. He's not just suddenly bad. We've praised him for his control, his ability to stay on the mound, get deeper into games. He did none of those things today. He was dominant the first 2 outs of the game and then struggled from there. And then all of a sudden turned it on again and then got right back on the struggle bus at the end of his outing. So that's on Cam Schlittler. It just is. And there's no excuse for that. No that pitcher can go out there. The fifth inning killed him. So I don't want to put all the blame on the bullpen. I think that's a little unfair. They did give up 5 runs, but 4 of them are to one guy. That's Cam Schlittler. If he was 5 innings, 6, maybe 5 2/3 and gives up 3, which is an average outing for him, this game stays a blowout and we're not worried at all.
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely fair. You know, there was no errors in this game, but I thought the defense let some things go in that inning. It just felt like it was just a bad inning all around. And I think Cam felt it. Not making excuses for him. He just wasn't simply good enough in the fifth inning. It's a shame because I remember he starts the fifth inning. He just struck out the side last inning. I think he struck out 2 guys. So he goes in the fifth inning and you get a line out, right? So you already get an out. Then you give up that Fitzgerald single. Then Outman hits the home run, and then he kind of
bomb. By the way, bomb. By the way, Jake, did you? I don't know if you caught this. Probably not.
The camera just didn't.
No, yeah, the camera did not see
that. He's like, yeah, it's just now, somewhere in that area.
It's a bomb. We're like, well, it'd been nice to see it. I don't know if you guys caught this, but Cam Schlittler actually threw more balls. I don't know if you could tell on screen by watching today's game. More balls than strikes today.
Wow.
That's not gonna get it done. Guys.
Not gonna do it.
Right. So we need more than that.
Was that a 30 pitch inning? More than that, right?
I'm not sure what it was.
So okay, I can actually calculate it. So I believe when he came into the fifth inning, he had a decent pitch count of like 64 or something like that. So he ended up finishing with 89, I believe.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was a labored inning. It was more
pitches. Okay, I stand corrected. It was 49 strikes, 40 balls, to be exact.
Okay.
Still not what you want. That's just not.
It's not what you want.
He's a strike thrower. That's not that. So it's unfortunate. It happens. We've seen some stinker starts from Cam Schlittler. Luis Gil is starting to, I shouldn't say separate himself, but he's starting to really open up that conversation where if somebody said, I'm giving the baseball to Gil, based on how the floor of some of these starts from Schlittler look, I wouldn't blame him at all. So we'll see how this finishes, and then we'll make a judgment.
It's funny that you say that. I started this when one of the voicemails was going on. Have you covered whether Schlittler is going to be the number three starter? I'm here to tell you right now, I still want Schlittler starting game three. Schlittler will not start game three. They're going to go with Luis Gil. They just are. Because it's going to be the veteran presence. And they're going to look at Gil as been there, done that, ironically, because they didn't even trust him last year.
Yeah, the year and a half vet.
Yep. But Schlittler, they look at it as a kid. I mean, look at the way they baby him on the mound. You know, not today. I actually want to give Boone credit. I agreed with taking him out, and I agreed with putting in Yarbrough. It's not Boone's fault that Schlittler gave up four runs, and three of them came in that fifth inning, and it's not Boone's fault that Yarbrough came in and decided to give him an outing that we haven't seen since the Dodgers series.
Yeah, so, just like it wasn't Boone's fault that Schlittler got shelled by Toronto.
Yeah.
Very early on. And then he said, oh, I was tipping pitches. Okay, well, that's not Aaron Boone's problem or fault. It's not
also,
none of it.
I hate that. Because I understand on one hand you're taking accountability, but on another, I feel like it's almost a built-in excuse. Like, oh, yeah, well, I was tipping pitches. Like,
it's
I won't
such
do that
BS.
Next time.
It's such
I
BS.
I hate it.
It's like playing someone in like a multiplayer game and back in the day. And this is before multiplayer, where we could play online. And you'd have all your buddies and your cousins sitting next to you. And, I mean, man, people forget this. The good old days. We had split screen. And you'd be playing against people. It'd be Mario Kart, and it would be James Bond, right? 007. And people would be like, oh, you were looking at the screen. That's why you're
screen cheating, screen cheating.
You're staring at my screen. It's such a cop-out to the results. When Cam Schlittler said that it was that he was tipping pitches, no, it wasn't. It was Toronto's offense just got to you. So spare me with the you were tipping pitches. You were not. You don't have 13, 14, 15 pitch at-bats because the players know what pitches you're throwing. That's not what that was. So I hope he's able to take a little bit more accountability as we go forward. But again, we're very proud of what he's done and how much better he's gotten. But don't blame anybody else other than yourself and your execution because that's what it was.
Yeah, no, of course. And I think that's pretty much it. I disagreed with Ninja Hot Dog on the bullpen as well. I felt like they pitched pretty well today, and that just the blow up inning with Yarbrough kind of covered that up. But I thought Williams was sensational, and I liked Bednar. And you know what? You give up a home run, as long as the name of the game as a closer is to just close the game. You win the game. I don't care how you do it. Just win the damn game.
That's why we brought him here. And by the way, Leiter Jr. got five outs.
Yeah. No,
he told me we were going to get that. I would take it any day of the week.
Yeah, he was important today. But I thought Devin Williams. I probably would have gone with Williams for the two innings. I probably would have gone with Williams when Leiter pitched. I would have put Williams in for two innings. So, but okay. Anyway, let's see. We got two more.
Let it fly.
Hey, guys. Kyle Malay here. Can we ever just have an easy fucking win?
No.
Like, we were up 10-1, and we went 10-9. I'm glad we got this win, but you're not going to be able to win postseason games this way. Like, oh my God. Like, it's possible to have a bad win. Like, this is our worst win of the season. If that even makes sense. Like, Jesus. Like, I literally, in the fifth inning, I went in to take a shower, and it was 10 to 4, and I come back, and it was 10 to 8. Like, I don't even know what happened. Like, Jesus. But all that matters is the Yankees won, but they're going to have to do something. Like, you can't even, like, fix the bullpen right now because you can't really make any moves. But, Jesus. They got to figure something out. Like, Matt Blake needs to fix these pitchers quick. The bullpen pieces, because it's not going to work in the postseason. This is going to be a first round exit if this bullpen doesn't fucking step up. All right. Well, let's go win the series tomorrow. I thought this was going to be a laugh for tonight, but the Twins never gave up. But, yeah, let's all have a good night and go Yankees. Do better tomorrow.
We heard more Jesus than Joel Osteen right there. But, yeah, there is a such thing as a bad loss, but I would probably say, Kyle, in our defense here, not at this stage of the year. Because I'll tell you guys right now, if we had lost this game, we probably have a larger audience, right? There's probably something even more to talk about. But we have to be hosting these games in the wild card. Be real. You're not going anywhere. I understand people have said, and Jake, you've made the prediction, this team can do something out of the wild card. And I somewhat agree with you, somewhat. They're not doing that on the road throughout their whole postseason run. That's not happening.
No.
You guys have to just, these games could be 16 to 15 against Chicago this next week. And is that ridiculous that we even have to get to that point? Yeah, it's a joke. But if the alternative is just losing those games, and because you feel like you deserve to have lost them, and now you're going to Houston, you're going to Boston to play these games, your fate could be very different. So, Kyle, I understand it was a horrible, ugly-looking win, but it's a win, man. We'll take them.
A win is a win is a win is a win. All right. Appreciate you, Kyle. Now we move on to Mark to wrap us up.
Let it fly, Mark.
Hey guys, Mark here. I don't know if it's too late to call in right now. I just got home. It's pretty late, but I see you guys are streaming. Here's the deal. Here's my conclusion about the Yankees. We're bipolar. We are bipolar. I do not know what this team is. I cannot figure it out. One day they score runs, one day they don't. The only thing I can see is that the bullpen is still struggling and giving up runs. But I'm really not sure what to think of this team, and I hope they get their things together because I feel like they still don't know what their identity is, and it's this late in the season. So hopefully they figure that out. All right, see you guys. Bye.
Yeah, I agree. They are bipolar.
Did you see the movie Split?
I have not seen it yet. It's on
the
list.
Are you out of your mind?
Come on now.
What a great movie. That was a blockbuster.
Yeah, I want to see it. I mean, James McAvoy is incredible. He's an incredible actor.
You've got to see that movie. It's the 2025 Yankees.
Oh, my God.
He's got like 12 different personalities. One of them, he's this woman named Patricia. I'm telling you, most incredible acting you've ever seen. Unbelievable.
So I saw something similar to that. It was called The Crowded Room. And I recommend it because Tom Holland was in it.
Okay.
Apple, I think it was an Apple TV premiere. What I don't remember. But yeah, I think it was Apple TV. No, I have not seen Split, but from what I've heard about it, it sounds pretty spot on to what the Yankees are.
He's about as a split personality as you can get. That's what the Yankees are. The Yankees can go beat up on the White Sox, and people are like, who cares? That's what they do against the White Sox. They play a great team, they lay down and get swept in four games, we're like, oh, that was a nice test, and they failed. So we suck. Then they go play a bad team. You're like, all right, they're going to beat the brakes off this bad team again. Nope, they lose 3 of 4. And then they'll beat the brakes off of a good Houston team on the road. We don't know who this team is. We should stop trying, Jake. I don't even know why we even try to figure out what this group's going to do. Nobody knows. Obviously, you could predict, oh, they're not going to win the World Series. I think that's a pretty safe prediction for most teams in baseball. But to say exactly how it's going to go and why we're going to lose, how we're going to lose, there's just no way, man. This team, we are split.
Yeah, I don't know. They're frustrating, but I still think they have a lot of talent, and I think they're going to figure it out. And I think they already kind of have. They're one of the best teams since, I forget what the date was, but, you know, the last, I think it was 20 games, they're one of the best teams in the big leagues. And what have we learned, Gary, about the way this league works? Doesn't matter what you did in April. Doesn't matter what you did in May, June, July, August. It's how you finish. Right now, the Yankees are finishing strong. They are. So if they keep this up, they're going to be one of the hotter teams. And then my whole, you know, whatever, analogy of them being the UConn Huskies with Kemba Walker, essentially being in the wild card, a.k.a. the playing game, and going on to win it all, well, there you go. But we'll have to see, because I'm not guaranteeing they win the World Series, but I do feel like I'm very confident they are going to go back to the World Series.
Okay, I'm going to make the prediction. I think we lose in the division series, which I don't want anyone to take it personally that that's my thought.
Boone should be fired then.
Yeah, I just think that eventually your bad habits are going to catch up with you. We're weak in areas that, if I really could take my pick of areas I want to be weak in, it wouldn't be the areas we are, certainly. Your bullpen, right? Your mental mistakes, not really playing the best players at every position. Like Jose Caballero still entering today was the best option at shortstop. I know it worked out for Volpe and we were proud of him. We covered it, but we don't play the best players. We just don't. So yeah, I'm worried. I'm very worried about this group. I know people say, well, if they lose, then whatever. Well, it's kind of our life, Jake. We cover this team for a job, you know?
Yeah.
So we want this to go as long as possible, man. Long as possible. And also, we have our comment section just going off about movies. Apparently, they said Glass, which was kind of in the family of Split.
Glass
said,
and Unbreakable, yeah.
Yeah, they said Glass was garbage. So
okay, well, just so you know, that has been on my list for years. So that's something I want to get around to. I finally finished the last Mission Impossible, and anybody that watches Mission Impossible, I don't know how you could end on that movie. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Hey, by the way,
but
I'm sure you saw the Cal Raleigh situation where he hit 2 homers today. I did talk about it a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The Seattle Mariners have won 10 games in a row. They are now in first place in the AL West.
Yeah.
So, guys, I understand that when people say, if you just put Cal Raleigh stats here, Aaron Judge stats here, you look at war, ops, batting average, RBIs, right? Homer, good or bad. It tends to steer towards Aaron Judge when you just simply look at stats. But I promise you guys, baseball and the most valuable player doesn't always just equal best season. The way some of you probably may think it should, there is going to be a large group of people who say, oh, the reason that the Seattle Mariners are going on this run and they're going to win their division is because their defensive-minded catcher is also elite offensively. He's going to hit close to 60 home runs, if not hitting 60 homers, at the hardest position to play defensively on a team that stormed back in September of all months to win their division. They very easily could vote Cal Raleigh for AL MVP. So again, guys, I think the numbers for Aaron Judge are favorable when you just stack and want to sit here and count numbers. I think there's no doubt about it. But there's an aspect of narrative that goes into MVP. And that's the way it is. So people can always say, oh, well, he's an elite catcher. Well, he's an elite right fielder, right? And someone will say, well, catcher's more important than right field. Okay, that's fine. But I'm telling you, this race is much closer than what people are giving it credit for. I'm sure we're going to talk about it a little bit more in depth when the season ends, and that'll be fun. But a lot of people are it's a polarizing topic, Jake. It is, because people are like, no, what are you talking about? They didn't want Judge to win the MVP anyways. They're going to be on that side, and then there's going to be a category of Yankees fans that are going to say, Cal Raleigh was never in this. So
what will bother difficult. Me is if Cal wins, I feel like it's based on the home runs and that he played catcher. But I don't think I'd be as bothered if Aaron Judge had the MVPs he was supposed to have. I still think
what about
he was
the
absolutely
wins?
Screwed.
What about that aspect? How much weight? Because just to tee you up here, and I really want to know your opinion on this, because we haven't talked about this on this podcast. I want to know what you think. Shohei Ohtani, and people talk about value. Oh, if he wasn't on the team, this would never happen. Shohei Ohtani played on the Los Angeles Angels, who were dog water. That's putting it nicely. Dog water. Would anyone have watched Shohei and been like, he needs to do more at putting this team over the top? Nope. He was pitching. He was an ace. One of the best pitchers in the game. He's probably a top three pitcher in the sport. And he was hitting 40-plus homers and hitting 300-plus. What do you want him to do? Then he leaves that team and goes to the Dodgers. And people are like, oh, he's what gets them over the hump. It's like, yeah, over the hump of a team that gets close already. So I wonder how much credit people give individual baseball players for getting a team to the playoffs as opposed to not. Cal Raleigh's on a team right now that's won 10 games in a row. How much stock do you put into Cal Raleigh being the reason that's happening, or is it just a team putting it together? Because I'm on the fence of this is a team sport. You have any idea how many players touch the ball? Bullpens, right? Long relievers. Guys like Yarbrough. A closer. A closer may lose his job. There's so much at work in winning and losing. Jake, what do you think about this? Do you think that Cal Raleigh's responsible for this storm that may lead him to winning the MVP, or do you think the writers are going to be like, nah, it's more team-related?
Well, I think if Judge doesn't win, I think it's because of the writers, and I hate that because I don't care about your fatigue. Do your job, or I'll find other people that can, right? It's like I just that's my thing, is that if you're going to vote with a bias, clear bias, just because you don't like who clearly is the best and is deserving, then that's a you problem, not a Judge problem. I mean, you already messed it up when you chose Altuve over him in 2017, right? It's not like Judge is winning every year. He didn't win in 2023. He didn't win in 2020. He didn't win in 2021, 2019, 2018, or 2017. He has two MVPs. The fact this guy only has two MVPs and we all know that he's the best in the world at what he does is insane to me.
They call it Judge. They call it MVP fatigue. I'm like, MVP? But there have been a lot of players who win two MVPs.
Well, like, I see that all the time, and I'm like, well, you don't have that with Shohei Ohtani. You vote for the best guy. I don't care. I mean, you didn't do it with Jordan, right? Can you imagine? They were like, yeah, Michael Jordan, we don't really feel like voting him as MVP.
Well, Michael Jordan would tell you, well, Charles Barkley won MVP in a year, and Charles Barkley's never been better than me at anything. He's never been better at basketball, golf, life, looks, nothing. He's not better at anything. So there is an aspect of fatigue, but let's be realistic with the fatigue. If Judge had won five MVPs in a row and then you want to throw it over to someone who was on a team, he's having a great season, and he's on a team that's winning and about to win their division, it would be unprecedented. They've never won their division, I don't think, ever. So except for the year they broke the record. So it's like you guys have to kind of ignore narratives and probably go with the numbers. I feel like that would be the more safe play for baseball history, but I don't know if they're going to do that.
I don't care that they've won 10 straight. They still don't have as many wins as the New York Yankees.
No, they don't.
And they also didn't win the head-to-head. So if push came to shove, and the Yankees were actually... That's actually kind of funny.
It brings much worse up a whole, division, by the way. The division of the AL West is terrible. They are horrible.
It brings up a whole different narrative, right? So the Mariners are going to be... hosting, they'll have home field advantage against whoever they play in the wild card, right?
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, they could end up hosting a team like the Yankees, who could have more wins than them. And the Yankees, if they actually won their division, and say Seattle just kept winning, if they tied, the Yankees would have the tiebreaker. And that, to me, and also Aaron Judge, I believe, did pretty well in those Seattle games head-to-head.
What did they say, though, when we played Houston? Guys, keep in mind, we went on the road and played Houston, right? We swept them. We swept that team. And there were a lot of people in our comment section saying that was an impressive series, albeit they're not playing the best baseball in the second half. It's still a solid team, right?
Yeah.
And we were trying to prop the series up. What was everyone telling us? Oh, that Houston team's not any good. They're not that. They're not good. Okay, we'll believe you. Now let's look at the rest of the division. The Texas Rangers good this year? No. No. The Texas Rangers are not good. That's not a good baseball team by anyone's description. The Athletics clearly aren't a good team. And the Los Angeles Angels are the last team in that division. The division stinks. So now suddenly, just because you're in that division, you're going to win 92 games and you're the division winner, but the Yankees win 93 games and they're in second place. You're going to get the MVP to somebody because they won the division. That's a silly reason. If you're going to vote Cal Raleigh for MVP, this is the last thing I'll say about it, Jake. Vote for him because of what you think he's done at the catcher's position. Don't give me the spiel about team achievement. Don't do that. Because there's nothing the Mariners have done this year that's more impressive than what the Yankees have done. And we're not that impressed with what the Yankees have done in its own right. Because the Mariners haven't been that impressive either. So don't make this a team thing. If you want to make it a Mickey Mantle, right, Ken Griffey Jr., catcher, defensive thing, do that, please. Just don't do the team idea.
No, I definitely agree with you there. And, you know, I look at this year and I just look at what he did in the head-to-head against Cal Raleigh's Mariners. And I just, you know, the way I see it, I mean, the Yankees, they almost swept the season series. They won 5 out of 6 games against the Mariners. I think it'd be an absolute joke, honestly. If they actually used the fact the Mariners got hot at the end of the year and they won a bunch of games and they won their division, but the Yankees had a better record, that would look absolutely silly to me. So that's all I can really say. That's all I can really end it on. But yeah, I have a lot of respect for Cal Raleigh. I think he's likable.
They've won their division 3 times ever.
But
so that could be part of it. I'm just telling you, it's not what we want, but it certainly could be an aspect of it. It's not.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'll be happy for him, the individual, because he doesn't have anything to do with it. He's having an awesome season. It's not his fault. It's just not. It would just be a shame for another season of Aaron Judge that could just be spoiled, giving it to somebody else for God knows whatever reason.
And I know he got hurt, but the fact he still has more hits, I believe, than Cal Raleigh. So,
well, I mean, of course he does. He has 240. He is hitting 240 this year. So,
yeah, it's anyway. Real quick to wrap it up, Luis Gil, Taj Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you knew this. Bradley has only given up 1 home run to an active Yankee.
Okay,
Cody Bellinger. So Ben Rice is 4 for 6 against him. Stanton's 2 for 3.
What about
Grisham's
Wells?
2 for 4. Austin Wells is 0 for 3 with 2 strikeouts.
Oh, I tried.
Yeah, I know. I think we see. I think we see Ben Rice tomorrow for sure. Better see Ben Rice tomorrow.
I asked the Wells thing because I wanted to see what they would do at catcher. But I would imagine...
Well, Wells would be catcher. It's a righty. So...
Well, that was... that wasn't the... Well, Paul Goldschmidt played the last time we saw him. So it's like...
Oh, yeah,
you would
true.
Think that when we see a righty, we would just go with the matchups. Goldschmidt sits. Wells plays. He catches. Ben Rice goes to first base. They didn't do that just 3 days ago. So...
Bradley has a good... A decent bunch of numbers against the Yankees. He has a 3.42 ERA. But he's 2-2. So, yeah, there really is no excuse. Bradley is not having a good year. 6-7 with a 4.88 ERA this year. and he's given up 16 home runs. Luis Gil just needs to keep in the ballpark, and I think the Yankees win. It's that simple. So,
I'm not too certain, by the way, that Anthony Volpe will start tomorrow. I think it's entirely possible that they'll set the precedent that this is not just him starting again, and Caballero may play. So,
interesting.
I'm not set in stone with what people think is going to be the case, but put your notifications on for the Yankees Twitter. You'll see the lineups when I see them, because I've got those notifications on. I see the second those lineups pop up, and
I
then that's
right
my...
in there, and then I bitch.
Yep, that's exactly right. So, anywho, what do we want them to throw in the comment section, Jake? Your pick.
Split.
Drop split in the comment section to prove you were here an hour and a half into our show. Bad win, but we'll take that win. Drop split. Make sure you guys are subscribed to Yankees Unloaded if you're with us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify. I don't know if you can still drop a review in 2025. I have no idea. I don't listen to podcasts on those platforms, but a lot of people do. So if you can, please leave us a review. It'd be awesome for our channel. Drop split, subscribe, and make sure to like this video.